Well, I want us to think about tonight what we can do, or what I can do, make it personal, what I can do for the meeting. The success of any gospel meeting depends almost entirely on the members of the congregation. Depends on just how interested we as members of the congregation here are in making this meeting successful. In order for the meeting to be a success, we have to demonstrate our interest in it. And for the greatest amount of good to be done, the best efforts of those of us as members must be put forth. And for that to be the case, we must put our whole heart into the effort. I'm reminded of a passage over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 17, where Paul says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." If you think just a little bit about that term, the ministry of reconciliation, that's a work that is ours. And as Paul continues there in verse 19, he said, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." In verse 18, he talked about the ministry of reconciliation. Ministry involves the idea of service. It involves work, of doing our best to reconcile or to bring people back to a state of friendship with God. The word "reconcile" means to make friends. The prefix "re" means again. And so we have the ministry of reconciliation. And then in the latter part of verse 19, he said he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. That's what we're all about, is trying to bring the word of God to individuals so that they can be reconciled or be brought back to God. We've engaged in a number of efforts to advertise the meeting. Sign out front. Cards are available, and many have been mailed out to various places. The announcement, as Bruce mentioned, will be in the Red Bay News this week. I don't know if it'll be Tuesday or Thursday. I doubt it'll be out Wednesday, since it's the 4th. But it will be out this week with an insert in it with the announcement of the meeting on the front page. And the meeting is being announced on our TV program. It's being announced on the radio as well as on the internet. So there's a lot of advertisement that has been made available to those who are our neighbors and friends. But the best advertisement that we can have is the work of individual members of the body of Christ. In order for us to make this meeting a success, there must be a wholehearted effort. We understand that the heart of man is the beginning place for every great undertaking. Each of us, as members of the body of Christ, must cleanse our own heart of everything and anything that would hinder us from making this meeting a success. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, "Seeing you have purified your soul and obeyed the truth through the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Loving one another with a pure heart. We have to make sure that we cleanse our heart. Each of us as members of this body of Christ must be glad that this meeting has been planned and thankful that we're able to attend it. David said in Psalm 122, there at verse 1, I was glad when they said, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. We understand that this building is not the church, it's not the house of the Lord. It is the meeting place for the house of the Lord. And so, in one sense of the word, we are always a part of the house of the Lord wherever we are. But we come together in one place and we form the congregation of the Lord's people here in this city. And so we're coming to the house of the Lord. We're meeting together. And Jesus pointed out in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. We have to love God supremely. In Psalm 119 and verse 2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. And so I think you see a theme running through these passages of scripture regarding our service to God. It must be wholehearted service. We noted this morning, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We let our light shine. But back up in verse 6 of Matthew chapter 5, in what we come to refer to as the Beatitude, he said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We have the disposition of heart that we want to learn more. James chapter 1 and verse 25, whoso looketh to the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful here, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed indeed. Looking in the perfect law of liberty. And Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing, or other translations render that, handling aright the word of truth. It matters how we handle what we do with the word of truth. We have to put the kingdom of God first. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And so what these passages illustrate to us in such a vivid way is that we have to put our whole heart, our whole being into this meeting in order for it to be a success. Because it's going to be hindered unless each of us, as members of this body, make sure our heart is centered on spiritual things. Make sure that our heart is centered on the efforts that we're putting forth to get the Word of God into this community, as well as to get the Word of God into our hearts. And so this brings us to a point that we need to understand the purpose of this effort that we're putting forth. Purpose of the meeting, we need to be sure we understand. As we talked about, it's to save the lost. We won't try to make Christians. Jesus told the disciples in Matthew chapter 28 that he had all authority in verse 18 in heaven and on earth. And he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and along with you always, even to the end of the age. And in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, it talks about Barnabas, when he had found Saul, he brought him to Antioch. He said, it came to pass a whole year, they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples called Christians first in Antioch. They assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And so we are about the business of edifying the saved, as well as saving the lost. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, Paul said, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. The idea of edify is building up. And so one of the purposes of this meeting is to build up the members of this body here in this particular place, to feed, to strengthen, to encourage, as some of our friends would say, to fire us up. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, it talks about perfecting the saints, setting everything in order like it ought to be, building up the body of Christ by making sure that we as members of the body understand our role in the process of serving God. And so we're saving the lost and we're edifying the saved, but we are also are honoring and glorifying God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Unto him be glory in the church. And so we're honoring and we're glorifying God. We're exalting Jesus and his word as the only guide from this earth to heaven. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there the text says, neither is our salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven whereby men might be saved. No other name given under heaven, given among men. We just don't have any other way except the authority of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And so, we understand that we're born again by the word of God. The word that lives and abides forever. And that's what we're all about in this meeting. Edifying one another, doing what we can to save the lost, honoring and glorifying God. Now, when we understand these purposes, then surely we should be better able to prepare our hearts and minds so that we can make this meeting the success that we'd like for it to be. We'd like to see people from this community here in the audience each time we assemble so they can hear the Word of God. They can be convicted by the Word of God just as those people on the day of Pentecost were. When they heard what Peter said, they were cut to the heart. The Word of God still is powerful today. It's living, it's active, sharper than any two-edged sword, the Hebrew writer said, piercing even the dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God's Word is still powerful today. It will still affect people when they hear it. If they will listen closely to what it said, they can be convicted by the Word of God. So as we understand the purpose of this meeting, then that will result in preparation. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, Paul said, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. We just talked about putting our whole heart into our efforts. And so this meeting has been planned, and we need to be about doing everything we can to make sure that we prepare not only ourselves, but we do our best to prepare our neighbors and friends so that they will have a desire to be in the audience. Sadly, many times, the extent of preparation is just advertising, but that's not all there is to it. Preparation is not just the advertising, and yes, we have done quite a bit of advertising for the meeting. We've made announcements to the members, and announcements have been made in other congregations and area. These are important, but they're not enough. That's not all that it takes to make a gospel meeting a success. Sometimes preachers are blamed for lack of additions. And sometimes they need to be blamed for lack of addition. Because sometimes preachers simply don't do the work that they need to be doing. And on a personal note, if you think that I am not doing the work that I need to be doing as a gospel preacher here in this area, then I want you to tell me about it and let me know what you think about the work that I'm doing and what maybe I ought to be doing that I'm not doing. Or maybe I'm doing something that I ought not to be doing. Whatever the case may be, I'd like to know about it. But what I want us to do is ask ourselves, if I were not a Christian, would I want to be a part of this congregation? If you were a person in this local community, would you really want to be a part of this local church? That's something that each one of us needs to give some very serious and sober consideration to. You understand that the guests and those who may be converted to the Lord associate more with members than they do with the preacher. The preacher may be the most wonderful speaker that you ever heard. He may be able to convince and to convict with a great deal of authority from Scripture. But if the members of the congregation, and certainly I'm not trying to indict anyone in the congregation, but to make us think about the impression that other people might receive when they visit the assemblies here. Remember what we said from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16? Let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It didn't say preachers. Obviously, preachers are Christians, and they have responsibility to do the same thing that you do. But we need to understand our responsibilities. So what we're saying is that this preparation results from having our hearts prepared. And it's impossible for us to desire something very strongly and be indifferent toward it. I'm convinced that in many instances in the past where I have been, that members have indeed been indifferent toward efforts that are being put forth to have a gospel meeting. I understand that there are probably people in this community that don't have a clue as to what we're talking about. We talk about a gospel meeting. Many of them really do not understand when we say we'd like you to come to our gospel meeting. And so it may be that there needs to be some explanation done when you go and you talk to your neighbor, your friend, about the effort that's going to be going on this coming week, this next week, to let them know a little bit about what's going to be going on. That we've invited a faithful preacher to come and to present lessons from God's Word three times on the Lord's Day, and then every evening during the week. These lessons will be taken directly from the Word of God, and that if anyone has any questions concerning anything that is taught, then certainly those questions will be entertained in the light of God's Word. We'll be willing to sit down with them at their house or our house or the church building or wherever is convenient for them and to discuss the Word of God with them, because that's what this effort's all about. But it begins with having our own hearts prepared to be excited about the effort that is being put forth in our gospel meeting. We just cannot have a strong desire for it and be indifferent toward it. Those two just don't go together. And so each of us need to realize the need for preparation more than just the advertising that's being done. There has to be preparation made in our own heart, in our own life. It may be that there will be something we need to sacrifice so that we can be in the meeting each time that we have a service. I know that there are things that are going on in the lives of every member here. We all have our calendars full sometimes of this meeting or that meeting or this doctor's appointment or whatever the case may be, the things that are going on in our lives. But if we're part of this local church and we're trying to do something that will reach members of this community, our neighbors and our friends, then it may very well be that we have to sacrifice some things in order to be able to do that. So, from that standpoint, this understanding of what this meeting is all about and what it means to us, there's some things that we, with our hearts prepared, will indeed do. And that's some of the things that we've just been talking about. Prepared hearts will demonstrate this understanding that we've just been talking about with their presence. Passage that we use quite frequently in regard to attendance from Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. There the writer says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. There's been quite a lot of discussion about what day that passage is talking about. Some would contend that that day is talking about the day of judgment. Others contend that that day is talking about the first day of the week. The context simply does not indicate the day he's talking about. I am personally convinced that any time, any day that the saints assemble could very well be the day that the Hebrew writer is talking about. Not forsaking or abandoning the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner or the habit of some is. Some, even in New Testament times, had gotten in the habit of abandoning the assembling. And you'll notice the text says the assembling of yourselves together. Not the assembly, but the assembling of yourselves together. We have a responsibility to assemble ourselves together. And this effort for this coming week is designed, as we noted earlier, to feed those of us who are Christians. This is a decision made by the men of the congregation as to a time when we, as members of the body of Christ, can feed on the Word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 5, there, verse 5, points out, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. That idea of submission is also involved in the decisions that are made for the good of the congregation. If this is not good for the congregation, then someone needs to know about it. If it's not a good time, that time could maybe have been altered earlier. A little bit late to alter it now. But this time has been set. And this is a method of feeding that's been chosen. And as Peter said, we are to be subject one to another. And so the idea of those who decided to have this gospel meeting, their ideas are just as good as mine. This meeting was planned long before I even got here. But the decision of those who made these plans are just as valid as any thinking that I might have. And so I must subject myself to those who made this decision. And our presence is essential for our benefit as well as for the benefit of others, both the other members of this congregation as well as those who may visit these assemblies. Our presence is absolutely essential to the success of such an effort. And our plans should already have been made long ago. The notice of this meeting has been on the bulletin board ever since before I got here, because it was there when I got here. That's been a little over a year. This time has been set. I don't know how long before that. This time has been set. So we all know about it. We all knew when this time was coming. And so our plan should have already been made to be at every assembly that we possibly can be. Not only do we show our interest by our own presence, but we encourage others to attend. We need to be like Cornelius. You remember when Peter was directed to go down to Cornelius, and Peter had some arguments about this when God said to him, in the vision, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything common or unclean. God said, what I cleanse, call not thy common or unclean. It's about this time that the men who come to get Peter were there at the door. And he went with them and went to this Gentile. And it was at this point that Peter realized the import of the vision that he had seen. Then he was to go and to preach the gospel to this Gentile. You remember Peter was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He opened the door there on the day of Pentecost, and now he's opening the door to the Gentile nation. And in Acts chapter 10 and verse 24, the text says, and the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And if you look in that text, you'll notice Cornelius saying, we're all here to hear what the Lord has commanded you. They had come to hear the preacher. Peter had come at the direction of the Holy Spirit to preach to the household of Cornelius. And as a result of the instructions that Cornelius had been given in a vision to send for Peter, he has now invited his friends and his neighbors to be there to hear what the preacher's going to say. We're all here, present before God, to hear all things commanded you of God. And so that's the way we need to be. This meeting is planned. We need to be inviting our friends, our neighbors, our kinfolks, whoever and wherever. You remember Jesus said in John chapter 4, there at verse 45, or rather verse 35, to his disciples, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. Now, I know that in our modern era, gospel meetings are not attended like they were even when I was younger. I can remember a time, the congregation where I attended, that the house would be full, and there'd be people sitting in what we called Amen Corner up there, and we'd have chairs out, and there'd be people sitting out on their car hoods with the windows raised, so they could hear what was being said. It's very rare to see that nowadays. I have been to meetings recently where they had to get out some chairs and put them in the aisle. It's very rare. But just because we don't have those kinds of crowds, that doesn't mean that we should not be busy doing everything we can to get people to come and to be a part of this effort. When Paul was at Corinth in Acts chapter 18, the Corinthians were a very immoral and ungodly people. To be known as a Corinthian was the height of immorality. But in Acts chapter 18 and verse 9, this spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. As we noted just prior to observing the Lord's Supper this morning, Paul dealt with a number of problems in the city of Corinth, the church there. He was full of problems. But as you read that, this letter directed unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. Even though they had a lot of problems, they still were the church of God. They belonged to the Lord. We belong to the Lord. And even though there may be a lot of wicked, ungodly people around us, a lot of immorality, these people need to hear the truth. Now, there's a lot of good moral people here in this city. In fact, I suspect that those who are moral in their lives might outnumber the ones who are immoral and ungodly, as we would look at it from a worldly standpoint. I don't know, but I know there's a lot of good people in the city of Red Bay and in the surrounding area. It's not like a lot of cities that you go to that people are unconcerned about morality in any shape, form, or fashion. But there are people here who need to hear the truth, and I'm convinced that if they give an opportunity, if they do hear the truth, that there are some who would indeed be obedient to the gospel of Christ. They did in the city of Corinth. Even though they were guilty of all kinds of immorality, they obeyed the gospel. They became a part of the body of Christ. And so we need to understand our responsibility to encourage others to be present. Do everything we can to get them to be in the assembly. And then when we get into the assembly, we need to be willing to participate. These front benches up here don't have plague. I guarantee you they don't. It wouldn't hurt anything at all for the members here to move up a bench or two so that the back benches could be left for people who come in late or for visitors. Everyone could make an effort to sit a little closer to the front and to leave the back seats for those who might need them. We raised four of our children sitting on the third bench from the front. Our children sat right beside us on the third bench. When they got old enough to go sit by their friends, they weren't allowed to sit any further back than where we could see them out of the corner of our eye. And Dottie told them in no uncertain terms, "You won't embarrass me at all to go over there and sit down beside you. That may embarrass you, but it won't embarrass me." Our children need to be taught to sit closer to the front rather than sitting on the back. Obviously, we don't have very many children here. We have grandchildren from time to time. But this is something that needs to be ingrained in every member of the body of Christ. To act like we are really a participant in the assembly. We can sing. We can pray. Obviously we pray and same with the spirit and with the understanding. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. If you don't think people notice the way that we sing as a congregation, you better think again. I was preaching in Thorn, Mississippi, and we got invited to a meeting at the Methodist Church, and so we went one night. We were trying to get some of them to come and visit our assemblies, and so we went to visit with them. But we didn't participate with them in the singing because they were singing with an instrument. And you know those people noticed that. We didn't sing with them. They knew that we sang. We had singings quite frequently there at various members' houses. We enjoyed singing, and it was obvious when you was in the assembly there. And so people noticed that. So be sure that when you attend the meeting that you sing with fervor. You sing with understanding, with joy in your heart to the Lord. We pray for the preacher. We pray for the lost. Someone said we pray as if everything depended on God and work as if everything depended on us. That involves us giving our undivided attention to the lessons. Take notes. And we have technology available that you can get a CD of a lesson and you can share it with someone else, or you can go to the website. And lessons, if all of our technology works correctly, will within a few days be on our website, and people can go there, and with a simple click of a mouse, just a keystroke, you can listen to the lesson that's presented. And so if you miss something, you go back and you can listen to it again. Or you can share it with your neighbor and friends. Above all, we need to be friendly to each of our visitors at each service. Make it your business to make sure that each visitor leaves their name and address. We have visitors' cards on the table out there. Get one and hand it to a visitor and ask them to fill it out and return it to you after the assembly. So we'll have a record of their being here, or at least encourage them to sign the guest book and put their name, address, and phone number. If they live locally, then we can follow up and visit with them or make contact with them, see if we can be of any assistance to them in their study of God's Word. This is especially true if it's the first time that a person has been in this assembly. It may be that, and I'm sure that there will be many who will be here that are friends that we have seen time and time and time again. We know them. We know where they worship. We know who they are. But there may be some in the audience that we simply don't know. We never met before. And so we need to know their name, address, phone number, so that if they are local, then we can do what we can to maybe set up a study with them, or go by and visit with them again, some way encourage them in their study of God's Word. Now, these are just a few thoughts in regard to our meeting. That's what I can do and what you can do for this meeting. Because, you see, I believe the preaching will be true to the Word of God. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all suffering and doctrine. He goes on to say, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they'll heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they turned away from truth and turned to fables. And that's happened in our society today. People have turned away from the truth, have turned to fables or stories that people designed to make folks feel good. But I believe the preaching will be true to the Word of God. If it's not, we need to call it to the attention of the preacher. I know that he'll be willing to sit down with you, study with you from the Word of God. And I know that I will. We'll sit down and we'll read passages and we'll try to determine what the scripture actually says. So, the preacher's going to do his part. Am I going to do my part? Because you see, good meetings don't just happen. They're made to happen. So let's make preparation by first preparing our hearts. By understanding the purpose of the meeting, then when we do understand the purpose of the meeting, then we certainly will work for the success of the meeting. That's a responsibility that each of us has as a member of the body of Christ here, Eastside in Red Bay. This is our gospel meeting. It's an effort that we're involved in to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. It is vitally important to the work here in Red Bay for us to grow and to develop, for us to grow personally, to be edified, to be built up. But an effort to try to reach those in this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, this lesson hasn't been designed to teach one what to do to become a child of God. But there's always a possibility there's someone in an audience that would need to obey the gospel of Christ to be baptized for the remission of their sins. If that is the case, then certainly we're going to do what we can to help you to fulfill those requirements. If you are a member of the body of Christ and you realize that you have gone back into the world, you become involved in things that are not according to God's will, we want to help you make whatever correction need to be made. If you need to make a public acknowledgement of sin, you can do that tonight. And we'll pray with you and for you. The Lord will forgive you. Whatever you need, why don't you come to the front of the building and let your desires be known as we stand and sing for your encouragement.